It's Tuesday, April 7th, 2015, and you're listening to episode 365 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 51 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Julia.
My name's Chad.
This is John.
All right, just let everyone know in advance, we are recording this in the middle of a thunderstorm with a panicked dog, so we're going to do our best to keep background noise at a minimum, but there's...
Don't you have one of those thunder jacket things that you put on dogs?
Yeah, thunder shirts, you know... Yeah.
This episode of Fear the Boot brought to you by...
And I will link a thunder shirt. For anyone who doesn't know what a thunder shirt is, the idea is that you put this kind of tight-fitting shirt on the dog, but the shirt also has, like, pads, like, kind of harder parts.
Oh, does it? Does it really?
Yeah. So it feels like there's all these points of pressure on the dog.
I thought it was just, like, a tight dog shirt.
No.
It's supposed to feel like you're hugging them,
yeah,
or like
exactly
comforting them.
And so I first saw these things advertised. People like, oh, these thunder shirts, it's like the dog's being hugged, and they feel perfectly fine. I'm like... Bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of those things that sounds great on paper to stupid people, but cannot possibly work. I mean, it's like yogurt colonics or something. And so...
Hey, wait.
Sorry, Chris. But so we decided, what the heck? We have this dog, one of our three dogs. She is absolutely terrified of thunder. And so we decided to go ahead and try it because it was better that than stuffing her with Valium. And, it works. It's crazy. She's like freaking out of her mind. You put that thunder shirt on her and she's completely fine. It's like nothing's happening.
Well, you know what? If I walked around wearing something that felt like someone was giving me a hug all the time and I kind of thought it was a hug because I have the intelligence of a dog, I'd be pretty happy too.
Fear the Con 8 coming up here. Well, theoretically, possibly. Kickstarter is still out there. I'll provide a link to that in the show notes if you've not had a chance to go out there.
I think we're halfway at this point.
We're over halfway.
We're the people who have curved out like the metrics of whether it's going to succeed or fail. We're on the success curve. So that's something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are on the success curve. And there's some cool prizes and stuff you can get. So I will link that in the show notes. Once again, if this funds out, the con is free. So if you are coming...
What happens if it doesn't fund out?
That's a fabulous question. We're going to have to handle that one if it occurs.
I'll tell you.
Oh, okay. You have the answer.
Yes.
The con won't happen.
It doesn't happen.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. So
full disclosure,
right.
It won't happen. But if it funds, it's going to happen. It's going to be great.
And the con will be free. I mean, there might be a charge for like kitchen food and things like that. But the beer, the con.
You walk in the door. If this funds, you just walk in the door and start gaming.
Yeah.
You don't buy a ticket. We'll probably have badges because people like souvenirs and we like having badges. And
well,
we have
it's
like,
good to know people's names.
Yeah, and we have like 1,000 lanyards from the previous cons. So
well,
why
it's
not?
Cool to count.
Yes.
I mean, to be like, I was part
count
of
count and be counted.
With so many people.
Yeah, well, and then also, once again, you may have to pay for like the kitchen stuff.
Well, we're not going to give you free food.
Well, yeah.
But but
everything else, what normally is covered by your ticket would be completely covered.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So apart from that PSA, this is my first time being back on the mics in a while.
Welcome back.
Let me break down a funky bass line for you as I'm on these mics. Chad?
Yes.
Would you turn tables for me? Like, would you be my DJ if someday I decide to start emceeing?
I'm not really a turntable man.
Okay.
I'd share the stage with you.
You can be like a hype man.
No, I don't do the hype, man.
That's my
Julie's
job.
Julie's the hype man. All right, Julie's the hype man. All right, we're going to work this out because if Fear the Boot is ever going to finally realize its original intention of being a hip hop sensation.
I'm like a Rick Rubin, man. I'm behind the scenes. I produce it. I bring people together.
All right, so you're going to be like a producer. So,
yeah.
All right, you're Italian, not Jewish, so we're going to work on that. But anyway, things I've been up to lately. Current Battletech game. Since we are one of the go-to podcasts for how to do Battletech, I wanted to pass along something that we are doing. John's in this game. It's an online game. This is a remote play game. There's probably a subject unto itself there, but I'm playing it with John. I'm playing it with Little Sexy George from the Trap Cast, Julia's friend Mary, and also Julia's brother Jason.
Yep. He doesn't do dishes because of your game.
Oh, that's fine with me. That's not my problem. That sounds like your shortcoming. But one of the things that we were trying to figure out when we were running this game, and I think this actually can kind of apply to a variety of games. I mean, okay, D&D and Pathfinder, there's tons of tools available for running that stuff remote. I mean, all of it pretty much falls back on that. But one of the things we were trying to figure out is with running Battletech, when it has such a unique and complicated map element, how do you abstract that online? And we looked at Megamech, which is a more fully simulated thing. You put the mechs on the field, you declare your actions, it actually rolls the dice and says what's going to happen. But the one thing I didn't like about that is because we mix the RPG in with Battletech, it really doesn't allow for story overrides of map combat action. So we decided to try something else, which is if you use something called Map Tool, which I'll put a link to it in the show notes. I know there's other solutions out there like, you know, Roll20 and such. But if you use Map Tool, it has a thing in it where you can tell it to sync the play space to hexes. It will even ask you what the size is of the hexes and pixels. And there's a great tool that I got turned on to by actually a guy that we interviewed on this show, who's been working with the magnanimous and magnificent and
another M word,
you can Magneto.
There you go.
Keith Curtis.
Uh-huh.
Which is called Hexographer. And what Hexographer is, and it does both squares and hexes, but it allows you to basically really quickly and easily build these maps. And so you can build the map in Hexographer, scale it to the Map Tool play surface in terms of the size of the hexes loaded over there. And then just like you would move a D&D piece around, you move a mech around, you just kind of keep your own record sheets or however you want to do it. But you can just put them in PDF and then dump the PDFs or the screen caps of them over like Paint or anything to mark off the damage on the mech. And actually, it works really well. We didn't know how it would play. We were kind of concerned it might be too clunky. It's too much heap track of too much alt tabbing. But it works surprisingly well. And so that setup, for anyone who wants to try it, it's Map Tool for the play surface, Hexographer to make the hex maps. And then you just use a token tool, which is part of the Map Tool whole tool set. And you use that to create your mechs and little counters and such. And then it's real easy just to move them around and to play the Battletech level map game. And then when you're done with that, you can just kind of clear the space away. And there's your play space for the RPG, for the Mech Warrior side of it. But yeah, you know, I got to kind of thinking about that, especially if you took it off of squares and you put it on an open measurement system, which I think you can do with Map Tool. I suddenly realized that 40K is a very affordable game now. Because if you're not that into the modeling aspect of it, which I'm not.
I'm definitely not.
You'd be surprised how much cheaper Control-C, Control-V, copy and paste, is than $55 a tank.
Or the hours and hours I have put into painting an army and still have not finished them and will never finish
them. And so I don't know if I'm ever going to get around to doing this, but suddenly it seems like, or even Necromunda.
Yeah.
Like now suddenly we could do Necromunda again or something like that.
Well, you know what's interesting with these different online play spaces that you can do? There's one, I don't remember what it's called or who makes it or whatever, so you're not going to see that in the show notes. I played one with a friend. It was a card game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the play space was for CCGs, for collectible card games. And so since you can't copyright a card, a piece of square, right? And
are we talking like general playing cards?
No, we're talking like Magic the Gathering.
Okay.
But we weren't playing Magic. We're
Yu-Gi-Oh.
Playing something else. Yeah. Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, whatever. You can't really copyright the rules necessarily unless the rules use very specific terms.
That is a fascinating legal battle that is going on right now about whether discrete portions of rule systems can be intellectually protected.
Well, I mean,
it's unsettled. I'm not saying right now it's unsettled, it's fascinating.
The argument for this program that, that the users use is like, you can't, unless you're using a specific art term, you can't really copyright this card does X points of damage to you. You can't copyright that.
It's the text and the image that you
It's the names, it's the proper nouns, it's the images. So they would have, like, we'll just say Magic the Gathering. They had every single card of Magic the Gathering in there, except they didn't have any art and they didn't have any of the terms in there. You could get every single card they had. And if on your own, somehow you were able to download somewhere all of the art for all the cards, you could do that and put them in there. But we didn't. And we were playing this non-Magic the Gathering game. And it was very interesting to play it because, do I want to get into this game? Do I want to spend all this money on random cards that I cannot pick to find out if I'm interested? Or can I download 2014's tournament winning deck and play against my friend to kind of get the game?
Yeah.
You know, we used to have a utility called Apprentice that you could play Magic on with no proprietary information, but everyone knew what everything did because Fifth Edition is the newest Magic card game, and we're all hanging out here on our 28-8 AOL dial-up, and like, that's just what it is.
Yeah.
We're grognards. We're still on map tool when everyone else is on roll 20.
Is there a is roll 20 supposed to be better?
It's, oh yeah, roll 20.
Is map tools we're the basically, old dusty old
we're
man
basically
thing?
Using MySpace.
Yeah. Oh really?
To well, to do our RPG.
Put it this way,
culturally.
Map tool is a Java application.
View.
It doesn't run in a browser or anything like that. You have to download it, unzip it, go into the binary folder. I'm just saying, if you,
in the modern market, yeah, people
as opposed to
whale it's such a
as
thing.
Opposed to Roll 20
kids these days.
And did Roll 20 change names? Is Roll 20 what changed names to? Because Roll 20 merged with another product, and I can't remember which name won out.
I thought it was Roll 20.
Whatever it is, it might not be Roll 20. It might have been renamed, but that is a plugin for Google Hangouts. Mm. So you go into Google Hangouts, and you have all these different widgets and plugins,
sure.
And that's just one of them you add, and it ties right into the Google Hangout. And I've not messed with it lately, but I did play a D&D game on there a couple years ago, and it was pretty slick. Hmm. I mean, I'm using MapTool because I joined this gaming group. I didn't start it or anything.
And we haven't thought critically about the tools we used in probably 6 years.
Yeah,
so and Ventrilo and MapTool from the late Bush administration is what we're using.
I remember when you had me start in your game and you're like, yeah, we're going to use Ventrilo. I'm like, what? Who uses that still? Like,
every cool
Skype?
EverQuest like, 2 rating guild does.
Something.
And for all of our behind the scenes note passing, we use ICQ.
That's right.
Wait a minute. To use Vint, you gotta have a server.
Yeah, my brother has.
He hosts one, yeah.
Oh, you host, because he has server. Oh, okay, he doesn't buy one. Okay.
We have one.
You know, and that's cool.
I could if at some point I wanted to, because
we use a hyperpulse generator station.
We upgraded the...
There's an HPG in Julie's basement.
We upgraded the server that Fear the Boots on, and a couple other websites, because that server was about to basically get retired and deprovisioned. Mm-hmm. And so they got me upgraded to a new server. One of the things I asked for in the upgrade, and they gave me, I've never before had sole control of a gigabit connection. And so I could put all kinds of other server platforms on there, but I haven't yet because I don't want to boat anchor the site. But anyway, alrighty. So do you guys want to talk about man-pantsing a game, or do you guys want to go straight into the five characters?
Let's go straight into the five characters.
Five characters.
Okay. So does everyone remember that card game that I wanted to punch people because they wouldn't stop trying to shove it in my face about 5 or 6 Gen Cons ago? Are you a werewolf?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So we have a new question. Are you 5 werewolves? Julia?
Yeah.
You get to set this one up.
Okay.
Tell us about Kirk. He's a great guy.
Yeah. Kirk is one of my best friends. said that sounded so sarcastic.
It was and this is why we hate what he's doing.
Kirk is a wonderful dancer. I don't talk bad about people I dance with.
Oh, gosh. I forgot about that. Anyway, Kirk is one of my good friends, and he's a really, really amazing GM. He writes really, really amazing stories, but he expects a lot out of you. And
a lot
out of you.
Yes, and he's kind of strict.
He homeworks
in a way that even I don't.
Oh, yeah. No,
but here's the thing. Once the game starts, there's not as much homework.
Okay.
But,
not as much.
No.
Two or three chapters a week.
There's literally nothing. He just expects you to level up ahead of time. He doesn't like you figuring out what you're doing with your points when you get to the game.
I can figure.
Yeah, that's like your only homework.
Okay, that's fine.
So anyway, I played an Exalted game with him, and I've talked about him before. He runs like episodic stuff. So he wanted us to come to the table, and we played old school Exalted first edition, and we had to come with all 5 characters in each. Wow, I'm drawing a blank. I can't remember what they're called in Exalted.
Class.
No.
Well, it's like an element or a...
Yeah, whatever.
I know what you're talking about. I can't remember.
Everyone has a dumb word for what a class is in their book, but it's a class.
It's class. So I was really worried about this, and I ended up loving it, and you guys go. Because I will counter what you're saying. So you have to come to the table with 5 ready-to-play characters.
Yeah. Fully created.
You know, you don't have to...
Ready for prime time was the quote.
Yeah.
Well, ready for prime time, but you also don't have to make this crazy elaborate backstory. If you can tie it in, like, I don't know, you guys probably didn't read any of the ones I posted, but it's just,
I just was told about them today. I went from work to
there's just like, I just put like a small amount of background. You don't have to do a ton. You could tie it into some of the non-player characters he's already created, and you're good. You don't have to make up this big crazy elaborate story, because he'd rather build your character in game.
All right, so let me,
I'm sympathetic to that.
Let me give kind of a really high level of what this is like. for anyone who's not following what we're talking about. Imagine if you had a group of four players and one GM, and the game master basically says, instead of doing group template first and then doing character creation, I want you to go ahead and make one of each of the four basic D&D types: fighter, wizard, cleric, rogue. Everybody makes one of each. Stats, character sheet, equipment, personality, background, everything you would put into a character, and bring all four of these to the table, at which point we will then figure out, well, I'll get to that in a minute. I'm doing four for D&D.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll figure out who's actually playing what, and the other three characters go on ice until, like, if you die, maybe you can swap one out or something. Now, in this case, it's a Werewolf the Apocalypse game, which is the old world of darkness, and there are five werewolf
auspex.
And so he has asked us, plain English here, what's an auspex?
It's the phases of the moon. It's
phase of the moon.
Right. Okay. And so, and that determines what your werewolf is like and kind of what your strengths and weaknesses. It's kind of class, personality, whatever.
Yeah. Because like John said, you know, every game has a different word for class. Well, werewolf.
They have two really.
Well, yeah. Werewolf has like your form, your tribe,
your
phase of the moon, and then like what you do with it. I mean, it really subdivides.
I couldn't figure out which subdivision we were supposed to make one of each for. For several read-throughs.
Just auspice.
No, just, oh, right. No, I figured out what an auspice was, but I was like, is an auspice a glass walker, or is it a dark hunter, or does that mean I was born during a
John, you're such a nerd. You don't know enough about werewolves.
I don't know. I don't know about my 90s alt-rock. Well, watch The Craft and listen to...
Chad and I got to bring this back together. Because to the first Gen Con we went to, where we didn't just, like, touch and go... Because the first Gen Con we attended, we literally attended for about an hour.
Hey, we had lunch.
We did.
You drove all the way there for an hour?
We couldn't find anybody.
I laughed at them. I didn't.
And it turns out we didn't find anybody because we'd forgotten that it was Eastern time.
We were not going to Gen Con as in we've got a hotel room and we're going there for a couple of days. And we get there and we're like, oh, people, we ran. No, it was we weren't going to go there for the whole day. We were looking at like just hit there, stay a couple hours and leave. It was all we had time for. We were going to meet at a podcaster meetup. And this was in the day, not one that we had designed. It was one that, hey, can we join you guys? We're Fear the Boot. Who are you? Larry listens to your podcast and he says you're cool. So join us.
Fear the Boot started in May of 2006. This was August of 2006.
Oh. Right.
And so our whole point of going there was, hey, just so happens that some of the hosts are free that day and we don't have tickets, which is okay because we're just going to drive out there and go to this meetup thing and have lunch and maybe hang out for a bit and drive back. Yeah. Won't that be a laugh? It'll be fun, whatever, because we're young and we don't have any responsibilities. And that's what we did, except the kind of the point of us going there was this meetup. And we went to the place where the meetup was. And no one's there. And we either fucked something up or they were screwing us over.
Oh, we were off by a time zone.
But what it was, we were off by a time. We didn't realize that Indiana wasn't central.
Yeah.
And it's so
Missouri central, Illinois central. Illinois is a narrow state. Surely Indiana central.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's Eastern time.
And so we walked around a bit. We didn't have tickets.
I got a parking ticket.
You got a parking ticket.
Did you ever pay it?
I did just because I wasn't sure if I would go back to near.
Weakling.
Well, I have since then parked in that same parking area. So it's a good thing I did. It's always.
Fair enough.
All right. But anyway, so the point is on the second Gen Con we went to, right?
We actually went to Gen Con.
And
the first time we were visiting people we barely knew in Indiana.
Right. But
at Gen Con,
there was a guy in there doing airbrush tattoos at the White Wolf party, which is also the one where they had like goth chicks dancing in the windows. And like it's, you went to this dance club. I mean, it seriously was like straight out of some vampire movie. They had this low-playing bass music. There was a sushi bar on the first floor. There were always like goth girls dancing in the window.
It was a German club.
They didn't have couches.
You know why it was a German
club?
They
had beds.
Because the amount of sausage there was amazing.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it's...
But...
The men were men and the women were paid.
But that airbrush tattoo artist gave me, Chad and Dan Henson matching werewolf clan tattoos.
Yes.
And we had a werewolf clan name and we were drunk and I couldn't tell you what it is.
Yeah.
That is so... Did you like Captain dorks. Planet it? Like you yeah. touch your fist together?
Drunken wolfen.
Fist? No, we didn't touch
your paws.
We didn't touch our fist or paws together.
No. Oh, no, we're done.
Our pawnus. So what he's doing with this werewolf game is he's basically said, I want you guys to bring five effectively fully developed characters to this, and then we're going to winnow that down to the one you're actually playing versus your Pitfall Harry extra lies that will just, you know, drop from the jungle foliage when you die.
I don't understand.
I really dated myself on that one. Somebody did.
Pitfall Harry, oh, yeah. The Atari game.
Yeah.
No, I got your reference.
Okay, thank you, John.
I didn't play old school.
I played that game.
There's exactly. Somebody in their car right now. We just made their morning.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's 10,000 other people who are like, what the fuck?
But you know what? We don't care. You, sir. It was for you.
Yeah.
That was for you. All right. But
Samuel, this one's for you. See if his name's Samuel, he'll be like extra going crazy.
Here's my take on this, though, because what we talked about for the show is a raw reaction to something that is outside of the normative way that we do things.
And therefore wrong.
Exactly. And like any human being.
Objectively.
My immediate knee-jerk reaction is this is bad and scary and will hurt me if I do not watch it throughout the night.
It's
it's dangerous.
It's not that bad.
The role-playing game is dangerous. People
have died.
Yes.
Died.
Making five characters.
Making five characters.
That fifth one.
How did I survive?
Yeah, look at you.
Dumb luck.
Why don't you list all your health problems?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. How do you know you wouldn't be in perfect health
if it wasn't for my five exalted characters?
You'd still have life.
They sucked the life out of me.
Yes, they did.
Exactly.
They gave me blood clots.
Yes.
And chlamydia.
And cooties.
Yes. And all kinds of stuff.
And now you're a girl.
And oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
That's new to me.
That's a werewolf game.
I wonder what the object lesson is. I mean, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to hate doing it the whole time. Look, and I'm going to get there, and I'm going to be all squinty. And I'm going to be like, why did I do this?
What do you mean you're going to get there?
You guys are going to get there. And I'm going to have my 10 tax return forms worth of five werewolves, a game I've never played before and don't understand. And, like, apparently one of these aspects, you're actually just a wolf, like a really smart wolf.
Yes.
And you just walk around and you go, arf, arf, Timmy's in the bottom of the well. Like, I don't know how I'm going to make this character, but I'm going to make it.
Here's the thing.
The character that I played in the last
Resting game. When we were at dinner, and I think this exemplified what my approach is going to be to this.
Yeah.
And I'm just admitting this right now.
Are you going to out me? Because Kirk listens to the show.
I am going to out you because I'm going to agree with you. Okay. So I am self-branding.
Yes.
Okay. I'm like the cowboy who does it to the cow and then turns around, and does it to himself and likes it.
Ooh.
And then takes it home.
So you're Pat.
Now I'm uncomfortable.
This went
But you were talking in great detail about this glass walker, about he's going to be like this.
Did you like the character?
I did. Yeah. But here's the thing.
I think you fleshed him out too much.
Bingo. Oh. I heard nothing about four other characters. And I'm just admitting right now, it's going to be really hard for me not to do this, and I'll probably end up doing it. I'm going to bring one character and four acts of sabotage.
When we did our Exalted game, everybody had their favorite. And, man, I wish Mary was on the show because she could back me up on this because she played it with me as well.
Mary's too busy hitting people.
We all came to the table thinking we wanted a certain character. And I think me, myself, and somebody else. We did not get to play the character
Which one? The I, the me, or myself?
All of us. No. I know I didn't get it. I can't remember if somebody else did. But I didn't get to play the character I really wanted to play. And I actually was kind of happy about it once we started playing because I realized that the reason why I loved that character so much was because I was so familiar with it. And I'd never played a character like this other one. And it kind of grew me as a gamer. I don't know if that makes any sense. So I kind of got like...
Challenged you.
A challenge.
Yeah. I will grant its utility because Ninja Guy cannot show up with five ninjas. And if the GM colludes with another ninja guy to take the ninja first
you seriously
and make
think
him...
That- a ninja guy. Yeah. Won't show up.
No. He'll try. That's why there has to be collusion.
Tim.
That's why you have No, we're all guilty of these things.
I mean, seriously.
No, but I'm serious. It really will.
Well, I'm going to put this with a caveat of if you are playing in good faith, then yes.
Which you and Chad have both disclosed that you're not.
No, I've just said that is my inclination. Okay,
so,
you cannot. This is not Minority Report. You cannot try me for a crime that has yet to be committed.
You just admitted it.
I admitted intent.
Hey, and he's misrepresented me.
I admitted contemplating
you
murder.
You put too much into the character, though. Yeah. That's the problem, is he doesn't want you to come
with
this
stenographer?
Crazy, like, full-on nut story yet.
Right.
Because you just want... So, I think our characters are 18, 19 out of high school, 1998.
No, I despise people who show up with complete backstories, too. They're like,
how
I'm
much,
done.
How much can you do in 18 years of your life?
Here's my take on it. And well, what happened was, when I first read Kirk's wiki, because he's running this on Obsidian Portal.
Yeah.
And so, actually, this is my first outing using Obsidian Portal, and I found it to be true from what the stories I've heard of how people use it. One person goes crazy and fills it with all kind of shit, and everybody else in the group completely ignores it.
Yes, we call her Miranda.
Yes. Ours had just had a kid, and now our wiki lies fallow.
It is ready for the...
Kirk has filled the wiki up with a huge amount of information. Now... I don't know if you've noticed that, but Julie and I were kind of going back and forth. We were telling you, oh, well, an Auspex is this, and this is this. And when we were out to dinner, we were telling you all kind of lore about Werewolf. I've never played Werewolf in my entire life. I've never read the book before. I was never actually super interested in it. I am really excited about this game, but it wasn't like I don't even own any of the Werewolf stuff. I know all of this stuff because Kirk filled the wiki with all kind of information, right. And I read it, and I'm like, oh, I get it.
Well, here's
Here's my thing with my character. I made a character. I put a whole lot of background into it. Yep. I did the sheet. I filled in the little bubbles. I did all the rules. I made equipment for him. I named him. I did his height, his weight, his hair color. I gave him parents. I gave him friends. I gave him a background, a write-up, everything, right? Full, like you said, I've done too much. And this is the character that I now want to play.
Bingo.
See, now, that's why you shouldn't put that much into it.
But here's the thing. I man-pants this game into happening. It isn't my game, but I really wanted to play it. And this was one of those games where everyone was really talking about it. We've kind of been talking about it. How long have you been married?
July.
Since July. July was where I first heard about it.
Okay.
And I started weaseling my way into it. That's not how I work. But it took a couple months. And so this has been talked about since before then.
So, all right. Yeah. So we have known about, or you've known about for 8 months.
8 months. John and I got together last week, and I pitched him the idea of like, okay, this isn't our game. What do you think of just making it happen? And so
and I was like, yeah.
Yeah. So I did what any alpha player does. I started just declaring things. We're going to meet here. We're going to do it at this time and on this day. And this is, and I set an agenda. This is the points we're going to have in our meeting. And this is what we're going to talk
about. And here's where I think, but I got to roll myself back before because I'm going to end up in the same place you are.
Right.
If I go my natural course, if I am allowed to just grow unshorn, where I'm going to end up is I'm going to make one character.
You're
going to
make a yiff. You're going to make a furry and...
You know, I'm thinking about doing just because it's freaking White Wolf. So if I'm not some kind of like a sexual miscreant, I'm not sure that I fit into the game anywhere. But Chad at feartheboot.com, if that offended you.
Yeah.
Well,
sure. But no, all right. So here's though. All right. All jokes aside. Here's what I intend to do.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that I know I'm going to end up where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I have to do is when I make these characters... I'm going to restrict myself in terms of defining their concept, their personality, their background, all of it to about 3 to 5 sentences. If it takes more than 3 to 5 sentences, it's too much. I want these to be cues. And we've talked about this with NPC design. Mm-hmm. We've never really talked about PC design because of the fact that we usually create a group template, drive characters from that, so on and so forth. This idea of throwing half a dozen characters on the table and then winnowing that down, that's really not how we typically operate outside of the one time we played Dungeon Crawl Classics, which is that's how that game works.
Yeah.
But
And this is how this game works.
Right.
We are guests in the game.
Precisely. And we need to conform to what it is.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, one of the complaints that I've had as a GM about my groups over the years is I want my groups to at least humor my ideas until they can see for sure it doesn't work. And so I can't.
So we need to humor Kirk until we can prove to him that this idea is
going
work.
To work. I promise.
But here's the thing.
You used to be a healthy male. You did this and now you're dying. No,
everybody became so, even if it wasn't, I don't know, I didn't talk to all the other characters about how much they loved the character in the beginning when they first started it, but everybody grew really attached to their character and they couldn't wait for him. And now, granted, Exalted is very epic. So, the end is the best part because you, like, blow somebody up or whatever, like crazy, blow a whole city up. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't wait to get to that point. And everybody was so excited by that time by how their characters had grown because you get to grow them inside the game instead of outside the game. Because I'm like you, Chad, where I put a lot of thought into my background. Mm-hmm. And I learned the hard way with Exalted not to do that.
Yeah.
Because not that Kirk doesn't want to put your background into it.
Yeah.
He would rather you grow as a character within game.
He doesn't want you to show. Okay, this is an odd metaphor. He doesn't want you to show up with a tree. He wants you to show up with a seed. Actually, 5 seeds. Pick one and then grow the seed into a tree. Now, here is the problem that I run into with Kirk's method, which, again, totally valid, and I'm actually excited to try it, much for the reasons you stated. It takes me out of my comfort zone. I want to be taken out of my comfort zone. I love taking other people out of their comfort zones. But my problem is that I...
Yeah.
Sure. I am now officially out of my comfort zone. Thank you, Chad.
But
for those now you're of you at home, yourself.
Chad is wolfing out.
Are we playing werewolf right now? Because I feel like I am. I'm just as hairy. Don't worry.
Awesome. But I have trouble when... Not trouble. I don't like to make characters in a vacuum. I really like seeing what other people are playing and talking with them and collaborate. I mean, it's like I've been saying since the beginning. I love collaboration.
And your wolf character hates vacuums, too, because it's a dog.
That's right.
Well, I mean, you could still create all 5 characters. Yeah,
no, absolutely.
I went ahead, and because I knew you guys were new to the concept, and when I made my 5 characters, the different auspices, I purposely went the wrong way with them. So, like, normally there's a nice... like harmony where you pick your auspice and your tribe and they work well together. And I just went complete opposites on them so that you guys can do the normal and not have to worry about it since you're not familiar with the way this works.
I'm not doing anything normal with any of my 5 characters.
Well, good. I'm proud of you.
Hi, I'm John.
I would say you're begrudging about this too.
I think this is hilarious. I wouldn't do it.
I promise.
I think the struggle that I'm having is not even per se that it's not what I'm used to. That's really not the problem. I'm having 2 struggles.
Time.
One is time, because right now, for anyone that's, I don't know if I talk about this too much on Facebook, but right now the company I work for is up against a major certification deadline. It was a miracle I could even record tonight. There's a reason I haven't been on the show lately.
There's a reason why we haven't been doing the Twitch channel.
And also why the show's been coming out so slow is because right now it's really messing me up. And that's going to pass. These tests occur in early April, and by mid-April, they're done.
Yeah.
And
then you get to wolf the f*** out.
Right. But until then, I got to be real careful. I don't know that I have the time for that much homework. But the second thing is because of the fact that I've not been playing in a lot of games over the past several years. And when I do play, I've been tending to GM. There is a lot of characters that I really want to play.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that I have this opportunity to play, but the character I really want to play, it's not a matter of, well, I can't compromise or whatever. It's that whole concept may not be allowed no matter how many tweaks I put on it. But I think what I'm going to do to get around that.
And like we said, doing the mistake I made coming with too much concept.
Oh, and some of this is not even detail. It's just at the high level. But I think what I've got to do is, okay, maybe work with that and say, I've got all these characters I want to play. Not all of them are werewolves, but I can probably find some way to get that concept. Excuse the dog pun here, but scratch that itch within these 5 characters. But I will tell you right now, there's something that I am going to do because of the fact that I have to do this to be internally consistent to Dan, which is, since I have this nice copy of Hunters Hunted, I'm going to make... Wait, hear this one out, because this is probably not what you expect. I'm going to make 5 werewolves and a 6th character who is a human nature activist Wiccan who is simply offended by the spiritual corruptions, not meaning the werewolves, but like vampires and such within the world, and therefore feels a kinship to the werewolves.
Yeah.
But this person will not themselves be a werewolf.
Werewolves are all totally against spiritual corruption.
So yeah, this is not going to be my usual Bible and Uzi hunter. This is someone that's going to actually be much more ecologically minded and much more.
Do I sense that you kind of really want to play the sixth character a little bit?
Well, yes and no. I'll tell you right now, I'm bringing four werewolves, Gnarl, and a hunter. No, but you know, Tim. No, Tim would bring six werewolves or six ninjas.
Six, yeah, Tim's the ninja.
What, five are werewolves, and the other one's going to be, I don't know, a freaking mummy wraith something that.
You're not allowed to play, yeah. So he doesn't have to.
Yeah, exactly. And so...
yeah,
well, and the good thing about this is we, you know, when we pick characters, we do it together.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, you could say, I really love this character. So if anybody is opposed to me playing this character or, you know, doesn't want to conflict in the same class, you know, well, you can state that.
And then the pushier personalities at the table can not only dictate their own characters, they can dictate their weaker friends, too.
The entire game is pushy. Yeah, we're all like that, though. So it's just, I think it'll just all
come fine.
Down.
Well, it's something that I'm looking to, you know, see communally here is, I guess, that middle road of when I bring these characters, if there are some I like more than others. And I'm going to do my best to make 5/6 characters that I really do like them all. So if any one of them is picked, it's not like I'm just going to pee on the floor and go home.
Mark your territory.
But your wolf character would do that.
My wolf character would.
Yeah.
But, you know,
but he doesn't have a home.
But if, let's say, in the process
Earth
of that,
home.
Based on how the characters Gaia. Are fleshing out, I find that there's one that I just really like this one more than others. And you guys are like, it's a little too close to what you usually play. There's got to be some middle ground of, well, wait a minute. Could you just change it up like this, this, and this? But that still lets you get that core idea you're going for or whatever. And I don't know. I mean, this is new territory to us. And I think that we may have a follow-up episode on this based on how it goes.
Oh, we have
maybe
to.
Even with Kirk.
I want to get Kirk on and hear his thoughts.
I want to hear a scathing rebuttal.
I got
what shitty ingrates we are.
I'm
all
sure
that work he did.
I'm
on
sure
the wiki.
A shitty ingrate.
Well, and if we get Kirk, I've got that 4 or 5 foot floor mic stand. We can put that on the table.
Yeah.
So when he sits
down, he can almost reach it.
Yeah. Almost. Yeah. Yeah. Kirk is like 9 feet tall.
Yes. I'm a tall person. There are not many people that I literally, not figuratively, look up to.
Kirk and Ryan Dancy.
Yeah. I
look up. And it's not even a little. I mean, like, Kirk, you need to blow your nose. I mean, it's just that he's that tall.
Well, and he's got a really nice voice. He officiated my wedding for a reason.
Mm-hmm. He does have a rich baritone.
I think Kirk would have some things to say.
So, I'm sure he would. And you know what? In case it sounds like we're downing him and his method, it's absolutely not the case.
It's just new to you.
It's new to us. And so when there's new things that we don't understand, we mock it or poke it with a stick.
And then get me on here to be like, no, I promise. It's good. It's fine. I'm a hippie.
Well, look, if it was really bothering us.
Yeah, you would talk about it.
We wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, we wouldn't talk about it at all. I am super excited about this game.
And I think that's kind of the message here is if I was to give some sort of an abstractable walk away that the people listening can use, it's that we are taking our own medicine. We talk about willingness to try new things, compromising, etc., etc. And this is us putting that to work. This is us doing what we talk about of actually going out, trying a method we don't normally use, being open to it, really not sabotaging it, trying to give it the fair shake. I mean, I'm trying to restrain myself. I know where I'm going to go wrong with this.
I'm trying to think, can I poop out 4 crap characters in 2 days so I can play my one good one?
You guys don't have to have your characters done by Friday.
That's what I'm telling you, Chad. You just bring in one good character and 4 loss leaders.
Kirk will be like, I don't want... No, this is the one you're going to play, man. What are you thinking? I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, and, you know, I'm the good one, and I already have my characters almost done. And they're up on the wiki. They have pictures and everything.
My God, pictures. You even have pictures.
Yeah.
What is this?
You gave Kirk his apple.
Yeah,
so I can pick mine first. No,
we know who's getting all the bonus points.
There are characters of the characters I made. There are a couple I really want to play, but I like the other ones enough that if you guys were like,
you didn't put any stinkers in there.
I didn't. Okay. I like them all.
Mm-hmm. You like them all equally.
I don't like them all equally. I like them all.
Okay.
I have a few. I'm not going to say them because I don't want you guys to steal them.
Steal them?
Oh, my God.
This is going to be like Battle Royale.
I can carbon copy the stats.
Just swap out the names
and then come up with any old crap.
So
background.
I'm playing Julio.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm not telling you guys
brilliant.
To steal them. One of them's the
I don't think you have to worry about me stealing your werewolves. Of all the sins I am prone to commit, werewolf theft is not on the list.
No, I mean, I don't want you guys to steal
you wouldn't
my
download
class.
A werewolf.
When I'm in church, struggling with my character flaws, dear Lord, give me strength to not steal werewolves, to stop werewolf rustling on the internet.
I'm serious. I'll battle you guys.
She'll stab you.
I was looking at a World of Darkness Hero Lab license earlier today.
Okay. Like, no, actually, you can't use it. Because Kirk uses the older version.
Yeah.
I had a lot of trouble. I could not find a character generator for hit the version of Werewolf.
He's playing
using.
The old school
it's,
version.
It's old World of Darkness. Onyx. Well, it's now Onyx Path. But it's old world.
So Kirk is strict, man. He is not f***ing around.
He did the same thing with the Exalted. We went back to first edition. Yeah. And it was lucky for us that the generator that's out there, I think it's Anathema, works well with first edition. You just have to tweak a couple things, and there's some talent you can't take.
So I was online, right? I was on like RPGNES and all the Reddit, all these different places looking for a character generator so that I could plug in the stats and generate a character sheet for this version of Werewolf. And they all kept saying, oh, well, you got to go use so-and-so's spreadsheets, right? Because somebody had made a spreadsheet with all the macros put into it and stuff. I'm like, oh, okay, I'd be willing to do that. Oh, you got to get it from this guy. I'm like, oh, my God, everybody's talking about how these are the greatest thing ever, these spreadsheets. I got to find them. The only link that is out there is some Angel Fire page that has been taken down years ago. I'm like, Kirk!
Just go to archive.org. You might still.
No, I tried.
Oh.
It's gone.
Some glasswalker you are.
I know, right?
Yeah. That's your job and stuff.
Damn it.
You know what we could do to counterbalance this is if we have Kirk on an episode and he wants to try and school us.
I think he is already schooling us.
No, sir. We are f***ing Fear the Boot, all right? Let's pull it together.
Dad, he's winning. He's winning.
Damn it. You are a seal. Pull this together. Here's what we're going to do.
I am.
We are going to counterbalance that episode by I'm going to find one of the game designers from Onyx Path because I have pretty good contact with several of them. And we are going to have them on the episode to completely, and I'll have to work this out ahead of time to make sure they take our side. There's going to be some social engineering. I might kidnap a family member. And say they're currently seeing the cherry blossoms at my summer estate.
You don't kidnap.
Exactly.
You only visit.
I invited his wife, husband, whatever, to see the cherry blossoms at my summer estate.
Right.
It'd be a tragedy if accidents were to befall them beyond anyone's control.
Yes.
And I'm just saying that it would also be nice if you took my side, regardless of how absurd or wrong or whatever it is.
I actually have a different plan. We get Kirk on an episode, and suddenly he's a Fear the Boot host, and then he's right. It happens all the time.
That's a very Mandarin way of thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And as a pseudo multicultural, but also kind of jingoistic man,
kind of jingoistic.
Okay. But I'm very for a jingoist. I'm very multiculturally educated.
Yes.
Except I can't say the word educated.
You have a lot of knowledge.
Yes.
Yes.
I recognize that as a Mandarin approach.
Yes, it is.
All right. How many people come and... that's also going to be too mean. All right, but here's... Good God.
You're going to
control my show.
Quit thinking
you're
about Nazis.
Three passes on this. Just racism.
That just seems like surrender. I'm going to use a sports metaphor.
But how do you know you're not going to like it?
Hey, sports metaphor.
Jesus.
We'll really reach our audience that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look,
he's going to tell me a sports metaphor. Okay, go.
I tried to play one of the copied and pasted with slightly better graphics versions of Madden Football, which EA turns out every year. And I had to quit because I got daddy spanked.
Madden.
No. That was... Look, it was new enough to me that the idea
Did your collar suddenly pop up and it just... tilt your hat and start calling everyone a bro.
Two polos. And popped both those hats.
One backwards.
Wow. Collar. Yeah,
that's all right. But
and a duck bill.
It was new enough to me that the idea of playing the team or playing the manager, mm-hmm. or even playing a specific player, which is one of the play options you had there, of following them through career, it was unique enough to me that it's like, oh, this is all kind of cool and neat. Mm-hmm.
That's what they say.
But then
about
two things happen.
Suddenly you're a crack whore.
I played against two other people. It was bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a massacre. And both of these bastards only told me after I'm on the floor, they've got their belts off, and I'm like, no, daddy, no.
Yeah.
Only then.
They tell you they've been playing since GameCube.
One of them tells me that. The other is nationally ranked in the play ladders.
Nice.
And so I quit. But there is an important lesson I took away from that. Punting on a fourth down is a sign of weakness. If you will not make a throwing play,
I don't know what that means.
If you will not make a passing play on the fourth down, you have no faith in your team.
Home run.
What the heck?
I don't know what
I have read some analysis indicating that the expected value of punting on a fourth down is nowhere near as high as coaches actually employ it in practice, and that the quote unquote Madden way of playing football where you never punt is closer to optimal than the way that they actually do it.
What is punt?
Basically, when you're on fourth down.
No.
All right.
You're learning sports.
We'll keep
sports.
This quick.
It's a gesture of tactical surrender.
Yes.
It is.
Okay.
Basically, what happens is in football, you're playing from one side of the field to the other. You want to be on one side. The opposing team wants you on the other. What happens is if you are about to lose control of the ball, you're on your last play.
Sure.
You can do one of two things. You can either do what's called a punt, where basically you kick the ball as far to their side as you can so they're not right at the goal line.
Okay. But, relinquish control.
But it's a sign of weakness and a lack of faith in your team. If you believe in your team, you play like Patton. As long as you have the ball, you keep throwing.
There are other considerations to be made.
There are none.
Like, are you 1 yard from the first down or are you 25?
It doesn't matter.
No, it really does.
One yard from the goal just means you've got 99 to cover. Might as well get started.
I just realized that
you learned sports ball.
No, this discussion thread on the forums for this episode is not going to be enjoyable, and it's just going to be about football.
I'm fine with that.
We had Cluey on this show. We're NFL correspondents.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he's not in the NFL anymore.
No.
Well, he was at that time.
So anyway, Dan, I don't understand what any of that has to do with Kirk. And I don't care.
I don't either.
I don't understand
I got
either.
The football. I just said I don't
yeah,
even know
I don't
what,
know what
you
you're going with that.
I have faith in Kirk.
I don't know. I don't remember where I was
so
going
you're
with
not
that. But something about muscling through it.
I'm not going to punt my characters. I'm going to try to make a bunch of characters.
Yes.
And get them
And they're
to
all
the going to
be furries.
Touchdown.
Yeah, it's going to be one big furry dog pile.
Oh, I'm telling you, one of my characters, it is going to be the fervert. It's just going to happen.
Please don't play that character.
Yes.
No.
You can.
Archon 98 will happen during the timeline of this campaign.
Yeah,
I'm
remember,
sure
this is
we could go ferverted up.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think what was going on in my life in 98. Man, it was freaking ancient history.
I was 13 and in 7th grade.
Well, that
4 years
really
out of high school.
Hard. When I was picking pictures for my characters, that was really hard. I'm like, okay, 1998.
Think Gravity Kills.
I ended up with like Mila Jovovich and Jennifer Love Hewitt in the 90s era.
I was a security guard wondering, could I make more money if I worked more hours versus laying around at home and doing nothing? Did I care? I probably didn't care.
John, you and I were born the same year, right? So I was the same age as you.
No, I'm older than you. What year were you born?
86?
85.
Okay, so 1 year. So, yeah, we were young.
Excellent. So, Fear the Con Kickstarter. You know the stats.
Do it.
Now go.
It's too bad you can't buy the John VIP package because it was the first one bought twice. Thank you, Charles. Willie.
People can go out there and look if they want to know. And if they can talk Wayne into posting a second John VIP package.
The second one's already been sold.
John has sold two of the one and only VIP packages.
I sold two before the first other one was sold at all. Preen.gif.
I will kick you on the show to improve my standing. If it has to be that way, I will just surround myself with increasingly socially inept and unattractive friends.
You know, I don't have a VIP package.
You should put
We talked
up.
About a date with me.
Yeah, I love your date idea. The date idea is like $1,000 back reward. You get a date with Julia. It is only going to last 10 minutes. You cannot touch her. It is in a public place, and she is being guarded by a very angry lesbian.
Think about that one.
Yeah, $1,000, man. That could be yours.
But for a mere $200 and a trip back in time, you could have had my games.
If that's not an investment, then, I mean, I don't even trust lottery tickets anymore.
Right, right.
I've been putting my life savings into those for years. So
you should have been investing in a 10-minute date with me.
That's right.
So thank you guys for tuning in. We'll do a follow-up on this once we have enough information to do a follow-up.
And definitely we'll want to get Kirk.
And then they'll be happier, believe me.
Unless Kirk hears this episode and cancels the game because we're all pricks.
You sons of bitches! I bled into this game for 9 months!
That's why I might have to lay this and do like a solo show before this or something.
Yeah.
So, anyways, thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great week and great games, and we will catch you next time.
I love you, Kirk. You're a wonderful dancer, and I look forward to your game!
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2015. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.